got mixed up with yours, and every attempt to sort it out by officers who were not entirely at home with figures only made it more confusing. The razor started to move again with silky smoothness.
I think you put your finger right on it, sir, said Jackram.
I am going to write an explanatory note and add it to the packet, Blaz went on. It seems to me the sensible thing to do would be to ask you here and now how old you are. How old are you, Sergeant?
43, sir, said Jackram instantly.
Polly looked up, expecting the generic thunderclap that ought to accompany such a universe-sized untruth.
Are you sure? Said Blouse. 45, sir. The hardships of a soldier's life shows up on a face, sir.
Even so. I'd recall a couple of extra birthdays what had slipped my memory, sir. I'm 47, sir. Still no rumble of celestial disapproval, Polly noticed.
Yes, very well. After all, you should know, eh, Sergeant? I shall amend it.
Thank you, sir. Just like General Frock did. And Major Galosh.
And Colonel Leggin, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. Clerical error has followed me around all the days of my life, sir. I've been a martyr to it.
Jackram stood back.
There we are, sir. Face as smooth as a baby's bum. Smooth is how things should be, eh, sir? I've always liked things smooth.
They watched Lieutenant Blouse walk down through the trees to the path. They watched him join the erratic, straggling line of women on their way to the door. They listened for screams and heard none.
"Does any woman sway that much?" said Wazza, peering through the bushes.
"Not legally, I think," said Polly, scanning the keep with the lieutenant's telescope.
"Well, we'll just have to wait for some kind of signal that he's okay."
Somewhere overhead a buzzard screamed.
"No, they'll have got him the moment he walked through the door," said Maledict. "Bet on it."
They left Jade on watch. With her paint scraped off, a troll could settle into rocky scenery so well that no one was likely to notice her before they walked into her, and by the time they'd walked into her, it was too late. They made their way back through the woods and had almost reached the ruined farmhouse when it happened.
"You are holding up well, Mal," said Polly. "Maybe those acorns did the trick. You haven't mentioned coffee at all."
Maledict stopped and turned slowly. To Polly's horror, his face was suddenly shiny with sweat.
"You had to bring it up, didn't you?" he said hoarsely. "Oh, please, no, I was holding on so tight. I was doing so well."
He fell forward, but managed to get onto his hands and knees. Then he raised his head, and his eyes were glowing red.
"Fetch Igorine," he muttered, gasping. "I know she's ready for this."
Wop, wop, wop. Wazza was praying furiously. Maledict tried to stand up again, fell back onto his knees, and raised his arms imploringly to the sky.
"Get out of here while you can," he mumbled as his teeth visibly lengthened.
There was a shadow, a sense of movement, and the vampire slumped forward, stunned by an 8-ounce sack of coffee beans that had dropped out of a clear sky. Polly arrived at the farmhouse carrying Maledict on her shoulder. She made him as comfortable as possible on some ancient straw, and the squad consulted.
"Do you think we ought to try and take the sack out of his mouth?"
said Shufti nervously.
"I tried, but he fights," said Polly.
"But he's unconscious."
"He still won't let go of it. He's sucking it. I'd swear he was out cold, but he just sort of reached out and grabbed it and bit. It dropped out of a clear sky."
Tonka stared at Wazza.
"The Duchess does room service," she said. "Now she says she didn't."
"You get Freak Rain the fish," said Igorina, kneeling down by Maledict. "I suppose it's possible that a whirlwind tore through a coffee plantation, and then possibly a lightning discharge in the upper ether."
"At what point did it blow through a factory making small coffee sacks?" said Tonka. "Ones with jolly turbaned men printed on them, apparently saying, 'Clatchy and rare roasted, when a pickaxe is not enough.'"
"Well, if you're going to put it like that, it does seem a little far-fetched,"
Igorina admitted.
She stood up, adding,
"I think he'll be fine when he wakes up. Possibly a little talkative, though."
"OK, lads, get some rest," said Jackram, stamping in. "Let's give the Rupert a couple of hours to muck things up, and then we can nip around the valley and slip down through and join the rest of the army. Good grub and proper blankets to sleep on, hey? That's the ticket."
"We don't know he's going to mess up, Sarge," said Polly.
"Oh, yeah, right. Maybe he'll have married the command of the garrison by now, eh? Stranger things have happened, although I can't remember when. Perks and Manacle, you're on watch. The rest of you, get some shut-eye.